So, is this all alumni in the back? So from the for third row back, it's all alumni. Wow, there's more alumni here than there are clients. That's pretty awesome. That's really awesome. My name's Eric Button. I got sober on the 21st day of July, 2005. It was not that morning. I did not get up and decide to get sober. I think it was about the 21st arrest in my repertoire of destruction. I didn't get sober till I was about 37 years old. I'm 51 or 38. I'm 51. Math was never my thing. I have 12 years sober right now. I was just thinking on the way out here, I've lost a lot of people to this disease. I was driving out here and I was thinking in my, we do a lot of thinking in our heads, don't we? Can anybody agree with that? Yes or no? Yeah. So our brains are pretty busy, right? So I was thinking on the way out here, it was 4 weeks ago, Friday, last Friday, I lost a friend, to this disease. He was an opiate addict. He's got the ultimate freedom now, right? He's not suffering. I hung out with him for 4 days. I actually work in this field of recovery now, and I hung out with him for 4 days in Palm Desert. And I remember helping him load some stuff up in his car. He lives in California. He lived in Orange County. I can't remember, San Juan Capistrano or something like that. And I can remember loading stuff up in his car, and I was telling him, hey, man, I really enjoyed hanging out with you the past few days. I really enjoyed reconnecting with you and talking. And you back up several years, and he was a client in treatment. And I had the opportunity to take him through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I got to actually hear his fifth step. And from Sunday night to Friday morning, he was found overdosed in a hotel in Santa Ana, California. So Santa Ana, California is like Oak Cliff in Dallas, Breaker in Austin, or anywhere. And Nick lost his life to this disease. And just a few days before, I had no idea that the disease was on him. Sitting in here, there was just this cool energy inside this room. Everybody was excited. You know, that's what recovery's about. Recovery's about freedom. Unadulterated freedom. Full, naked, raw freedom. That's what they're selling here. That's what they're giving you. How many of you have been in treatment before coming here? How many times? 5, 6, 7, 8. Too many, right? My story's the same. I grew up in Dallas. How I always had the jobs which afforded me to buy the lawyers to keep me out of trouble, I did. Don't know how that happened. It just seemed to have happened. Normal people don't have bond paid for the next time you get arrested already. But I did. First time I ever got arrested, I was 2 weeks this side of my 16th birthday. I could have easily been arrested for a DWI. I got arrested for possession of marijuana. Jeez. I mean, I think I had like 2 or 3 joints, and I got arrested. Nowadays, I just saw on the news up in Dallas, you can have up to 4 ounces, which in my book is a quarter pound. You can have 4 ounces, and it's a ticket. What the hell, man? I started this thing way earlier than that. What I'm trying to get to is I picked up really early in life that lying, disclosing, I learned how to be an actor really early, okay? I never was honest at all. I got out of jail. I had a pocket full of money. It was a Friday night. I had a pocket full of money. I had just gotten paid. Got arrested like 12:30 at night. Was supposedly staying over at a friend's house, right? Mom and dad didn't know anything about it. I'm in a parts truck. I'm working at this car dealership in Richardson, Texas. And I'm driving the parts truck. The parts manager liked me. as a matter of fact, when I got the job, I remember he asked me, he said, "You got a driver's license, right?" "Yeah, I got a driver's license." "Yeah. You can drive. Don't worry, I won't be needing you to drive and make deliveries, but I just want to make sure you got a driver's license." This is back when they didn't ask you for your Social Security card or your driver's license or your, they damn sure didn't drug test you for a job. And I can remember parts manager's name was Dale Frost. So it's Friday. What does Dale do? He says, "Hey, the driver called in sick. Can you make a delivery?" This is a week before. Week before I actually turned 16. And I said, "Well, I lied to you. I don't have a license. I won't get it until next week." You know what he said? "I like that. I like your attitude." So he affirmed me for lying to him, and he said, "I really like that." So guess what? You fast forward, it's 2 weeks this side of my 16th birthday. Guess what I'm doing? I'm making a parts delivery on Friday night, and he says, "Hey, why don't you take the parts truck, the brand new parts truck, you make this delivery, and then you just keep it for the weekend and come in Monday with it." Well, what do you think I do? Woo! I got this brand new Silverado. Now, it's white, granted, it's white, but we were rolling. We went and got some Buckhorn beer. Anybody ever drink Buckhorn beer? It's actually the entry-level beer for Lone Star. It's like the Pabst Blue Ribbon of Miller. So I get arrested. We're smoking weed. We're in a park. We're not supposed to be there. After 10 o'clock, we're there. It's 12:30. We're ripping and roaring. I'm rolling. I got two friends with me. One's passed out. Other guy's up with me. We're having a good time, and the lights come on, and we have to wake my buddy up, tell him he's going to jail, so we go to jail. I'm in jail, and they arrested me for possession of marijuana. My friend got arrested for, he had more than just marijuana. He got arrested for controlled substance. And then the other buddy of mine got public intoxication. How I didn't get a DWI, I don't know. They didn't, they just, I guess they saw my license and said. So mom and dad didn't find out. I get out of jail. So then what do you think I got to do? What do you think they did with the parts truck? They impounded it, right? So being an ingenuitive 16-year-old, I found out where the lot was, went up to him. I said, hey, I need to get my truck out, da, 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 you know. And they said, well, you got to have proof of ownership. And I said, what about the, it's my work truck. I said, what about the insurance card? They said, oh, that'll work. As long as it says, as long as it's insurance and it says the owner and it says what the VIN number is. Well, can I go get it? It's in the truck. They said, no, we can't let you back there. We don't have any proof that you... So what do you think we do? Yeah, we go back in the... After lights out, it's dark again, so it's the next night. I jump the fence. I run over the truck. I bust the vent glass out of it, which is about $30. Get in the glove box, get the thing. A dog chases me. I jump over the fence. I show up at the... at the window to get the truck out. Here you go. So I got the truck out. Put a vent glass in it, and I was at work on Monday morning. Everything's good, right? Well, it was. Yeah. In my mind, everything's good. So what do you think? I pick up on the fact that for me to operate in this world of getting fucked up is I need to be on top of it and I need to be in control of it and I need to, I have a choice, I got a choice in this thing because I'm in control of everything. You fast forward a few months later, what do you think happens to me again? I get arrested. This time, I get arrested for marijuana again. Well, this time they're going to, it was a little more serious because there was a lot more pot. So I figure out, I think I was just about 16 and a half, almost 17. Kept my job. Nobody ever found out nothing about the other thing. And I get the idea, well, I need to get me a good lawyer, right? So I go to the court. I find out what, anybody ever been arrested in here? Anybody? Several times. So I get this bright idea. I'm going to go to the court that my case is at. I want to think it was like the 283rd or something like that, district court in Dallas County, blah, blah, blah. I go down to the courthouse on a Thursday. No, it was a Friday. And I just sit in the courtroom and I kind of watch what's going on. I'm trying to learn what's happening. And I notice there's defendants coming in. They got lawyers and then they keep running around the back side of the courtroom. And the guys with the suits on and the ties, you know, they got all these papers and they're running around. Their shoes are like kind of worn out. Those are the guys. And I figured out they're making deals on Friday. They're getting people off. Right? So what do you think I do? Hey, I kind of like the way that lawyer looks. I pulled him aside. I said, hey, I got a little case that's coming up here in this court. I got $1,000. Would you represent me? Yep. And guess what? Guess what my lawyer got me? No. He got me probation. Guess what I learned later? I'd have got probation even if I didn't have a lawyer. So I wasted $1,000. And it just continues to feed this mind that I got all the answers and I got this thing under control. Well, it ain't too much later. I'm in the car parts business. And that business is, I start figuring out that methamphetamines helps me be a little bit more attentive. I mean, to everything. Is there any meth heads in here? What am I talking about? I mean, I was going so fast I couldn't even move. So, it works for quite some time, except for the fact that I ruin relationships, right? I have to leave jobs before the heat comes on, but I always seem to find another job. And by golly, I just keep getting arrested over and over and over and over again, right? But in my mind, I still got this thing under control, right? I'm not, by this time I got a house. I've done ruined a marriage, because she liked doing methamphetamines with me. So then we didn't trust each other. You know the deal. I mean, good Lord. And then we're figuring out, hey, did you get my bag? No, did you get my bag? It's like, God, the insanity. Remember I talked about freedom in the very beginning. I was not free at all. At all. So then I got the bright idea that I'm going to get a girlfriend that's normal and she doesn't use at all, and I'm going to conceal this from her. How long do you think it lasted? Yeah, it lasted about 6 months. That's what my mind told me it lasted about 6 months, but it actually didn't. Jody is her name. She's actually the mother of my daughter. We played house for a little while. And I was a total terrorist. I lied to her mother. I lied to my parents. I pretended that I was a good father to my daughter. I wasn't. I was a good, I even thought I was a really good liar. Can anybody relate to that? Being a really good liar? Yeah. Our minds tell us that we're really good at it, right? But I never pulled it off. I remember, my mom and dad pretty much cast me off, right? I had a house. I liked what y'all do in the very beginning when we're reading the steps. It said we. Right? How many times they say we? 11 times. Well, guess what? The last time I got arrested, was there a whole bunch of we's around me? No, I was all alone. Probably every single one of you, when you had the opportunity to come here as a client, you were alone too. Am I right? Yeah. So the last time that I had pulled the wool over everybody's eyes, I had supervised visitation with my daughter. I was on probation for 2 felonies. I had fooled my parents. I had fooled Jody, my daughter's mother. I had fooled my attorney. I had fooled the people that I actually paid money to verify that I'm staying sober for my supervised visitation. And I had finally gotten the okay after about 8 months of jumping through all these hoops, burning up my energy foolishly and getting high the entire time. I detoxed myself every single month before probation. I would detox myself every single time before I went to go see this supervised visitation person. I'm doing methamphetamines the entire time. I could drink a gallon of water really quick. So they were going to let me pick up Jordan, and they were going to let me take her on a trip. First time, just Jordan and myself. It was, lo and behold, it was a Friday morning. It was about 5:30 in the morning. I had a job, another good job. I'm working for a truck and engine corporation called International. They build big over-the-road trucks, 18-wheelers. I was in charge of the modification center. I had 24 employees underneath me. And what we did was we bought parts from all over the country to build these trucks. So I had a lot of responsibility. Hence, I needed to be on my game. So I thought I was on my game doing methamphetamines. That morning, what do you think I did the night before? I was getting high all night long, and it was nothing. One block from my house, I'm driving in my Buick Park Avenue, because I'm driving Buicks then because blue hairs drive Buicks, right? And they don't pull Buicks over. Well, they do when you roll through a stop sign and you don't stop. One block from my house, I roll the window down. Of course, the cop pulls me over. One block from my house, 5:30 in the morning, I'm rolling the window down. I mean, you think there's smoke, these things y'all got now, these vaporizers? Woo! You think there was smoke? You think you can blow out some smoke? That car was loaded with smoke. Smoking on that ice pipe. I set it down so quick, I'm sure it was burning whatever was in the ashtray. I got arrested. The covers got pulled off once again, and I'm done. Now, remember, I told you that I already had bond paid before I got arrested, right? I shouldn't have got a bond because I was on two felony probations out of Dallas County, but some reason or other, the computer made a mistake. And I got released. And there was a moment that I said, I want to change my life. So I approached my family. Believe me, they didn't want to see me. My dad didn't want to see me for nothing. And I said, I need some help. I got to change my life. I want to change my life. A few days go by. Miserable. I go to my attorney, and he says, "Eric, the only way that you're gonna stay out of prison is you need to go to treatment for a good while." I got out of jail. Believe me, when they arrested me, they didn't find all the dope that I had. I was not even, I think I was in there for 2 days before the bond caught up and they got me out. Got in my wallet. They never, you know, some of us got that secret spot, right? I'm no more out the door of the jail, and I'm putting that stuff in my body. I'm eating that. I'm eating it right then. Right? 2 days separated from it, and I had no power to not put it in my mouth. So, my attorney suggested that we go to the court and we get completely honest, and we ask for mercy, and we ask that let's see if you can go to treatment for at least a year. I said, what? A year? He said, yeah, minimum, at least a year. So I'll never forget. I go to court. My dad goes with me to court. The judge says that I can go to treatment, but if I sneeze, I'm going to prison. No ifs, ands, or buts. 5 years. I remember seeing my dad crying behind me in the seats behind the, you know, the, wherever they call it, the gallery or whatever, the audience. So what do you think I do in treatment? You think I'm a model resident or client, pupil? What do you think? Yeah, I'm pretty good at showing you what I think you need to see. I'm pretending that I'm being honest. One of the things that happens at this particular place that I went to for a year, well, actually 12 and a half months, actually I had to go to another place before I could go to this place. So I went to a treatment center in Central Texas, in the Hill Country, and I was the, community president. I still had a little bit of energy going. So I was the community president. I was like the, woo, let's all get sober. Yeah. So I get to the place that I go for long term, and they have visitation once a month. My mom and dad lived in Dallas. My daughter, Jordan, lived in Dallas. My mom and dad, on Sunday mornings of visitation, which was the third Sunday of every month, would go pick her up at her mother's house, put her in a car seat, drive her out to the airport. They'd all get on a plane. They'd fly from Dallas to Austin. And then they would get in a rent car, come out and see me, and we'd visit. One of the rules, do y'all have any rules here at Austin Recovery? Right? Is there? Lots. Well, you think there's lots here? We had a book of rules. Well, one of the rules, and rules never really completely were for me, you know? One of the rules is at visitation, we're supposed to say bye to our families inside the building, right? Because they're wanting to protect our families from us, because we clean up pretty good, right? How long have you been here? 16 days. You look a lot better than you did when you got here, don't you? You got a little bounce in your step, your eyes are looking good. If your family comes out here and looks at you, you think, wow, he looks amazing, right? Right? So we're very cunning, we're very baffling, we're very charismatic, right? So what do you think I do? Do you think I'd say bye inside the building? Oh, I said bye inside the building, but then I ducked out the side door because I had to go tuck Jordan in the car seat. Wasn't for Jordan. I wasn't in Dallas. I didn't tuck her in no car seat up there. I didn't tuck her in no car seat at the airport in Austin. I was doing it for me. Had nothing to do with Jordan. My dad pulled me aside. He said, hey, you're not supposed to be out here. What do you think I told him? Don't worry. I'm the only one that's got a kid. I just wanted to see her. You know, we're very good at sucking on lollipops. Right? So I get away with that for a few months. And like everything, eventually my guard goes down and God has me be detected. Now, up until this point, everything that happened to me was never my fault. Can anybody relate to that? I was a victim of circumstance. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'll never forget telling, I think I told, man, they keep pulling me over because I've got a record. I'm an easy target. Duh. It's a business, right? It is a business. They made a lot of money off of me. They ain't making no money off me now at all. Knock on wood. I hadn't even had a speeding ticket. Now I might get one leaving here tonight, but I've been pulled over a few times and they gave me a warning. So I'm at this treatment center and they said, it's Monday morning after visitation. You know, I got a little bounce in my step. You know, I'm a big man on campus. Yeah, I got something. You know, my daughter came and visited me and we had this thing called community. Very end of community, they said, Eric Button, you got a growth opportunity. You are, you went out and visited with your family after visitation and you have asked us to take your visitation away next month. I said, what? I flipped out. I mean, I lost my wig. What the fuck? Cussing and go get my bags. I'm out of here. I went out to the edge of the property. I'm kicking right. Now, guess what my choice is? My choice is stay and start getting honest or leave. And I'd have got high, I guarantee. And believe me, I was 7 months sober by this time. 7 or 8 months separate. Let me rephrase that. I was 7 or 8 months separated from alcohol or any kind of drugs. Wasn't necessarily sober. Okay? It was, what month is Father's Day? June? So it was June. It was pretty warm. I stood out at the edge of this property for 4 hours. Kicking rocks, crying, cussing, screaming, and something told me, go back in and accept what they asked you to do. So I went back in, and it was a huge... That one thing was the biggest episode in my life. Consequences never got me sober or never kept me sober, right? Has it to any of you, consequences ever worked for any of y'all? But this consequence of losing my visitation and getting to talk to my daughter about it with my counselor and telling her why... guess when the next visitation was? It was on Father's Day. You couldn't have scripted that any, I mean, that's like a divine, there was something going on, right? It was just like me getting arrested on that Friday because I already had Jordan excited about going on a trip, and guess what? I didn't make it, right? So I'm doing it again to her. And I'm completely separated from drugs and alcohol, but I'm still in the behaviors, right? I got busy. I started getting honest. I started asking questions. I started following directions. I started listening more than talking, which for me is pretty hard to do. Still to this day. I got to go to court while I was in treatment, and they connected all three of those felonies together, and they said, you got 5 years probation. I got out of that long-term treatment facility, and I did everything that they asked me to do. and I got off probation 3 years early. I had been on probation pretty much all of my adult life from 18 till about 39. Today, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got an opportunity. I woke up one morning and I said, you know what? I need to go out to Austin Recovery. I hadn't been here in a long time. Actually work in this field. Now I work for a treatment center. Actually the treatment center that I got sober at for long term. I woke up one morning and it hit me. I need to go out to Austin Recovery. So I just went to the treatment center I work at, did some things in the morning, visited with some clients, and I drove out here. Does anybody know Will Miley? Holy moly. Talk about recovery right there. That dude is high energy. He ought to be on meth. But I've known that guy for a long time. He's good as gold, just like everybody else that's at this facility. I walked in up to that little building right over there, and I said, hey, I'd like to see Will Miley. And there's a lady. She was eating her lunch there. She had this lunch that was in like a white plastic tray. And she got this radio and she said, hang on. She got up out of her seat, walked out the door, went somewhere out in here. Next thing you know, she shows back up with Will Miley. She was eating her lunch. She got into action and she went and got Will Miley. Will Miley came and saw me. I didn't call Will before. I just showed up. Will showed me around. I used to come out here on Mondays a long time ago when they first built this, the men's wing. Is it the men's wing over here? On Monday nights, and we would bring a meeting out. Anyways, Will's showing me around. I walk into the alumni office, which is in a building right over here. And I run into Chris Gates, and hey, we're visiting Chris Gates. He goes, hey, would you be willing to tell your story at Austin Recovery? And without hesitation, I said, yes. Now, I hadn't looked at my calendar, but lo and behold, my Sunday night was open. I just came back from Dallas. I was in Dallas last week, and I was in Dallas till about 1:30 this afternoon. Ate at El Phoenix. Ooh, I love me some El Phoenix. But I didn't hesitate. Recovery, I like looking at it this way. A spirit that y'all heard, read that part about a spiritual experience, right? I'm looking for a spiritual experience every day. And I got a spiritual experience when I woke up that morning and I said, hey, I want to go to Austin Recovery. You know, Austin Recovery was started in 1967. Guess when I was started? 1967. Holy smokes. So talk about a spiritual experience. Coming and seeing Will, running into Mr. Gates, him asking me, and I getting to come here. Recovery is like, what am I doing on a daily basis? I like looking at it this way. I want to get some power, right? So I look at like standing under a tree. There's certain things that I must do to continue to get. I don't want to get too much sunlight because I'm going to burn up. But I got to have some. And how do I do that? Well, I look and see where am I lying. I look and see where do I make a commitment and I don't follow through with it. And it's little steps. That's what it's about. Little steps. Where am I being honest? Where am I lying? And eventually, we all had a great relationship with lying. Am I correct? And today, we're growing our relationship with honesty. And with every opportunity for me to be honest, I'm getting closer and closer to this power, and I call this power God. The word God is in that book. Those big books, Alcoholics Anonymous. So what I am, this life is so much better. I mean, this life is, I got more energy than I ever had when I was on methamphetamines. I'll never forget one time I fell asleep in my front yard. It was like 9:30 in the morning. I was out of dope, passed out, ants were biting me. I mean, God, miserable. Used to look in the mirror and be all swollen up, and I, man, you look great. You know? Now, I've put on a few pounds. But I tell you what, I'm happy, joyous, and free. That's what this is about. So, those of you that are in treatment, seize every moment. Go in and talk to your counselors. And just flip the script on them. Just start talking about whatever's going on in your mind. Stop hiding or concealing what you don't want to let out. Let it out. Get it out. Talk about it. And it's going to bring power in your life. And those of you that are alums, holy moly, there's a lot of you in here. Like I said, there's more of you in here. I mean, there's more alum here than clients. That's freaking awesome. Get a sponsor. Work the steps. Continue to implement the steps in your life. And this thing is easy. Right? I saw up here. Where was it? Oh, right up there. It says fourth step worksheets. Well, the instructions are right there in that book. Write that fourth step. Okay. Follow the direction of your sponsor. Does all of you have got sponsors? Everybody? No? What's keeping you from getting a sponsor? You just got here? So what I hear you say is by Tuesday you're going to have a sponsor. What's your name? David? So by Tuesday, that's tomorrow's Monday and then Tuesday. What? Did you all hear that? Woo! So, I'm telling you, I'm super excited to be here. I'm honored. This is a great time of year to be sober and to stay sober, and you don't have to come back to treatment. Stay. I got to see you with the hat on. What's your name? DC, I saw you when we were over at that men's place when I was with Will, and you had just got back from a spiritual something or other. What's that lady's name? Maurice, and you were glowing. Yeah. Now, have you lost that glow? You still got it? All right. Well, I'm super honored. Thank you all very much, and God bless all of you.